Hello and welcome to a podcast about music, an info comedy about music. I am Logan, one of your hosts.
And I'm Eric, the other host.
Eric, how are you this week?
Logan, if I was any better, well, as I've said before, I wish I knew a good ending to that line.
One day we may figure out how that potential joke ends, but for now, we will not. For the monolith mystery has been solved. Last week, we came at you talking about these weird monoliths that had been appearing all over the globe, and in this past week, a YouTube channel came out and made a video entitled, I believe, Why Did We Make So Many Monoliths? Or something like that.
Did they actually figure it out completely?
I think these guys in this YouTube channel made monoliths in Australia, and they started popping up all over the globe as a result of that creation they were making.
And again, a monolith is like a structure. It's like a statue that points towards the sky, kind of like an obelisk.
Obelisk. I believe we did this last week.
I thought you said it was obelisk.
Obelisk?
Obelisk?
I think it's obelisk. I just contradicted myself.
We're just going to confuse everyone, including ourselves.
Go listen Logan, to our last episode.
But what you were telling me last week is the monolith had something to do with outer space or something.
2001 A Space Odyssey. 2001 A Space Odyssey by Arthur C. Clarke. That was his novel and then movie, which monoliths played a large role in. And they're kind of alien structures of extreme intelligence and function.
All right.
So, I described it better last week, but you get the general gist of the whole thing. But that mystery, at least for now, has been solved.
That's pretty exciting.
It's quite an achievement.
It is indeed.
Solving it. Us two guys just did it right now. We solved the mystery.
Logan, in other news, since the last time we spoke.
Yeah. I apologize for that.
Since the last time we spoke, not one, but two very experimental space flights have been aborted just before the Sirius liftoff phase.
Mm-hmm.
You familiar with both?
Familiar with one of them, but why don't you describe both to the audience?
I am not familiar with either. I thought you knew about both of them.
Nice of you to bring that up then.
Bring up the first for me.
What was it? It was the first SpaceX launch.
Yeah.
Right, this week?
One of Elon Musk's...
Well, one of them was successful until landing, correct?
Oh, yeah,
that's the one
course.
You were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe that was SN8 or something. SpaceX Starship explodes on impact during high-altitude test flight. This comes to us from hypebeast.com. SpaceX's Starship SN8 exploded earlier this week during a high-altitude test flight. Despite successfully launching and completing its landing flip maneuver at a height of 41,000 feet, the SN8 started descending onto its landing pad before almost touching down and exploding in a large ball of fire. Elon Musk still claimed it was a success, and they got all the information that they needed. Eric, do you have the second news story for us?
The second news story? I don't have it available this second, Logan, but I'll tell you this much. I believe it was Virgin Galactic.
Mm.
Are you familiar?
I am.
And they were... trying to launch from their airplane that flies the rocket up fairly high, and then they were going to launch from that point. It launched for about 1 second when they aborted that flight as well, and it came around and glided back down to Earth. Yeah. You didn't hear about that?
No, I was watching the other SpaceX launch, which had, I believe, a Sirius XM satellite or something on it. It was the SXM something, and they aborted because of weather. They had a hold order and then pushed the timer back 15 minutes and then just aborted the whole mission. I don't know if that's what you were talking about or not.
No, it was very different.
I didn't hear about any other flights this week or launches or aborted missions.
Well, let me tell you about it, Logan.
Please do.
The Virgin Galactic test flight Saturday ended prematurely as the spacecraft's rocket motor failed to ignite. Well, that'll do it, huh?
It sure will.
And then it glided down safely to its landing site in southern New Mexico. The spacecraft's engine is supposed to ignite moments after the craft is released from a special carrier jet. This carrier jet, by the way, it looks like two airplanes flying side by side.
Mm-hmm.
Two jet airplanes flying side by side with a big space between them, but it's actually just one very long jet airplane.
Pretty cool.
With a space in between that carries this rocket or this spacecraft. A special carrier jet sending it in a near vertical climb toward the edge of space. But it didn't work out that well this time. The pilots flew back to Spaceport America and landed gracefully, as usual. So it wasn't the most successful flight, but at least everyone was safely back on Earth.
So best place to be.
These two companies, what are they again?
SpaceX and Virgin Galactic.
SpaceX is helmed by...
Elon Musk. All Musky.
And Virgin Galactic helmed by...
Forget the guy.
Richard Branson.
Yes.
These are... two of what we'd call, what we would generally term...
billionaires.
Eccentric billionaires.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Eccentric, scientific madmen billionaires.
I feel like a little more Elon Musk on that than Richard Branson, but I could be mistaken.
I understand what you're saying, sure. But they are both trying to race to space. They're very much both in the space race.
Another space race.
Yeah, and the pretty private exciting. Space race. I guess that's what we're talking about.
Well, SpaceX has partnered with NASA for some things that they've been doing and mm-hmm. will partner with them in the future. So semi-private, at least. It's privately funded. Well, is it safe to say SpaceX is privately funded? They take donations, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know.
It's not government funded, that's for sure.
Anyway, I think, Logan, we've done a wonderful job of segueing into our big announcement.
We're talking about Brenda Lee this week.
No.
Or was there something else on your mind?
Oh, no, Logan, our big announcement. We've decided to change the name of the podcast to a podcast about
space
exploration, and in parentheses, kind of. Because the hosts aren't really that well informed.
Well, I mean, we should add a kind of after our current title if that's the case. No, we're sticking with a podcast about music. It's very self-explanatory.
Who the heck is Brenda Lee?
Brenda Lee was born Brenda May Tarpley on December 11th, 1944. That was 2 days ago.
1944. And some years ago. How old would she be if she was still with us, Logan?
She is still with us.
You're kidding.
Nope. I'm going to pull up.
1944. Exactly. That would be 66. 86 years young, two days ago?
Yeah. 76. 2020. It's 2020.
Plus 44. Oh, Logan. Yeah. Well, plus 54. Yeah. My bad with the math.
Wait, plus 54? She was born in 44.
She was born in 44, so 100 minus 44 is 54, plus 20 is 74.
76. She's 76. Oh, Logan, so what are you talking about?
The numbers are just spinning around, right?
Yeah, this is quite humiliating for both of us. Well,
76.
She's
4'9",
if that makes you feel any better.
With that voice?
Yeah.
4'9".
Yep. And you'll be surprised as to when she recorded her most popular song, but more on that later. She was born in Atlanta, Georgia. Brenda's parents, Grace and Reuben, were poor but managed to support their children through carpentry and long hours in the Georgia cotton mills. Brenda Lee sang from the time she was a baby. Find that hard to believe, but once she could talk, she probably started singing. When her sister entered her into a talent contest, or a talent show as we now call them, when she was 3, Brenda Lee won. Brenda and her mother, Grace, worked tirelessly getting Lee singing jobs. A local DJ named Peanuts Fairclough shortened her name from Brenda May Tarpley to Brenda Lee, saying that it would be easier to remember when she was famous. And notice he said when, not if.
Interesting.
Much faith was placed in this little girl. Not so little anymore. In height, yes. In age, not so much. In 1957, the family eventually moved to Nashville, where Brenda was taken under the wing of manager Dub Albritton and the legendary producer Owen Bradley. These two men were both very loving father figures in her life. Young Lee toured the country with stars like Patsy Cline, Mel Tills, and George Jones. By 12, she starred at the Grand Ole Opry in Vegas. The biggest selling track of Lee's career was a Christmas song. Perhaps you've heard it. In 1958, when she was 13, Owen Bradley asked her to record a new song by Johnny Marks, who had success writing Christmas tunes for the country singers, most notably Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and A Holly Jolly Christmas. So, Lee recorded the song Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree in July, so not anywhere near Christmas time, with a prominent twanging guitar part by Hank Garland and raucous sax soloing by Nashville icon Boots Randolph. So she was 13 when she recorded Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
So, Logan, you're telling me that Rockin' Around, she was 13 when she recorded that?
13 years old.
Is that a true story?
Unless I've been given misinformation, 13 years old, which is incredible. 14,
so,
maybe.
For those of our friends out there in listener land, if you've ever seen the movie Home Alone,
mm-hmm.
Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree is prominently featured. Am I wrong? Am I right?
No, you're right. You're right. Kevin McAllister tricks the Wet Bandits, later known as the Sticky Bandits, I believe, in the second movie. But he cons the Wet Bandits for the first in many times in that movie by playing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree while he moves mannequins and the like around in his house to simulate a party going on.
And we're listening all the while to Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree,
which a 13-year-old Brenda Lee sang and recorded in July of all months. How crazy. Decca released it as a single that November, but it only sold 5,000 copies and did not do much better when it was released yet again in 1959. However, over subsequent years, it eventually sold more than 5 million copies. That's all.
I heard the original version has sold over 25 million copies.
Really?
But that's probably a separate metrics.
Probably separate metric, I'd argue to say.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking with an IX, but you're probably right. No, you're probably right. I'm sure you are. It's probably metric.
No, you could be right, too.
No, I think you're right, Logan.
Well, it would be a first.
Again, she was born in
1944.
And December, you said? December
11th? December 11th.
And what I see is that this Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree was recorded in October of 1958.
That's correct.
Like
so
you
she
said.
She was 13.
She was 13. Unbelievable.
Very close to 14, but...
Oh, my gosh.
What an incredible singing voice for 13. And, are you kidding me?
And this song, it's like everyone knows this song.
Yeah.
If you don't know it, check it out. We're going to link it.
We sure are going to link it. And I would play more than I'm about to play now, but we would almost certainly get copyrighted. Here's a sneak peek at Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee. So if you want to hear more of that, you can hit the link in our show notes and listen to the full thing without getting us copyright claimed. That would mean a lot. Eric, do you have anything you want to talk about regarding Brenda Lee or that song? Were you a big Brenda Lee Christmas family household, what have you, when you were a little boy in Christmas time?
Logan, I guess we were, though I didn't realize it at the time. I mean, it is possible that at one point or another we heard that song.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure you did.
we sure didn't talk about Brenda Lee. We didn't know her.
No.
We didn't realize.
I don't know her. I was just talking about her.
We did not realize how much she affected our own lives.
She's really affected anyone who likes Christmas music like that, which is really...
Or music in general. I mean,
yeah. She had so many other hits than just Christmas music.
It doesn't matter if you like Christmas or Christmas music or dislike them, but if you're strolling down the street and you hear from a storefront, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, you're gonna sing along. If you don't sing along, you're probably whistling along. If you're not whistling, you're mouthing it, pretending you're not singing along because you don't want anyone to know that you're enjoying it. But guess what? if not any of the above, you're definitely enjoying it. Everyone knows the song and everyone likes it.
Yeah, and guess what? If you're not enjoying it, you're in prison, rotting for life.
And
because who doesn't like rocking around the
Christmas tree? You may actually, sadly.
Actually, if you don't celebrate Christmas, I understand that.
Yeah, you might be in prison and still enjoy the song.
I'm sure most prisoners would admit that they do like rocking around the Christmas tree. Whether they actually physically like dancing around a tree decorated in memory of the birth of Christ, or whether they like the song that's up for interpretation.
Logan,
we got a little off the rails there.
I would agree with you.
Got a little deeper than I expected.
To the extent that I would say they probably would admit it, these prisoners, that is.
Mm-hmm.
They might not publicly admit it, but if it was like an anonymous survey where they could just fill it in, you know,
yeah,
and know that none of the other prisoners would know that they were admitting to liking the song.
Like a 4C survey on a website?
Strongly agree. Yes. I'm sure that most of these prisoners would enjoy that song and admitting to it.
If it meant that they would get their freedom, do you like this song? If you do, we'll let you roam free. Well,
of course. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure the numbers would go up in that case. What do you want to talk about? Because we have a little more time before we go into real or fake. I have an announcement, but I'll save that until you're done.
Logan, what I want to talk about, believe it or not, is your announcement.
Oh, great. Okay. Do you know what it's about, or do you want me to take it away?
No idea.
All right. So everyone knows that this podcast episode is releasing on December 13th, 2020. We've made that abundantly clear, hopefully. By
everyone, you mean...
Me and you, basically. Yeah. God willing, it's released on the 13th.
Yeah.
Not everyone might know that we have a holiday spectacular lined up for 7 days from now, December 20th, 2020. So that's 12-2020. We wanted it to be like that because it's December and then 2020.
Yeah, it's mathematically fun.
It's fun. We have so much fun stuff in store. I've spruced up the intro for us all. I've created a little opener, a rewritten Christmas tale of sorts. And don't worry, if you don't celebrate Christmas, we will embrace you into any of our episodes, but especially this one with open arms, because we will be talking not only about Christmas music, but celebrating all music. We'll be talking about what we liked in 2020, what we didn't. I do understand also that would not be the last episode of 2020. But what I do understand is that we're going to have a good time. A lot of friends and family are helping me and Eric with this, and we appreciate that. But what's more, we're not doing it for the millions we get paid every episode. We're doing it for you. You're welcome. Eric, do you have anything to add?
Nothing at all, Logan.
I kind of freestyled the end of that a little bit. I think that was pretty good, but, you know.
Yeah.
It also could have been horrible.
I'm trying to fight back the tears here. Yeah,
could have been worse.
Agreed. Yes, it could have been worse.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway, Holiday Spectacular, 12-2020. Don't miss it. Turn on your notifications, whatever you do.
So
tune in and listen. It means a lot. Thank
basically,
you.
Logan, what you're telling us is... We have two more episodes this year, this
after
calendar
this.
Year.
Yeah.
One of which is the Holiday Spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
The next, just a lackluster episode.
We could do a year in review. We did a decade in review last year. We probably should have done it this year because the new decade starts
yeah.
in 2021.
Yeah, what are you going to do, right?
Nothing. We're going to do nothing about it. As we have a pretty good track record of doing nothing about things that we want fixed.
We're here to entertain and enlighten.
I think that's
just a little bit.
I think that's pretty evident, seeing as we still haven't fixed the reverb issue with our first episode. It still sounds like we're doing it in the symphony hall.
Not sure anything needs any fixing.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move into real or fake, all right?
All right.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome back once again to Real or Fake, I'm one of your hosts, Eric.
And I'm Logan.
It's our pleasure to have you here with us on this, if anything, mediocre ride across the real and the fake.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks, Logan.
You want to go first or you want me to this week?
You know what? I think you should go first because I don't think I have a very good one prepared.
All right. Well, in that case, here we go. Story number one is as follows. Snow leopard at Louisville Zoo tests positive for the coronavirus.
Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. The Kentucky Zoo is also testing two other snow leopards for the virus that causes COVID-19 in humans. Officials at the Louisville Zoo said a snow leopard tested positive for the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 in humans, and two others may also be infected. The zoo announced Friday that Niki, or Nisi, a 5-year-old female snow leopard, tested positive for the coronavirus, officially designated SARS-CoV-2. Or SARS-CoV-2.
All right, well, these are two very interesting stories. They both sounded
That was just one story so far.
Oh, darn it, Logan. I thought I had it nailed.
Would have been easy. Story number two. An early exploratory trial treatment. It's quite a mouthful. I'll take it from the top. An early exploratory trial treatment for COVID-19 is being tested on small mice and hamsters in a humane animal research lab in Melbourne, Australia, a city that hasn't reported a new coronavirus case since October 30th, 2020. Their preliminary treatment includes zinc and selenium and has been trending in a good direction since their first round of tests last week. Sorry for my stumbling here and there.
Well, that's no problem. Sometimes when people stumble, it's because they're not being that honest.
I don't know about that.
Pretty sure, Logan, that was the fake story, and the real one is your little Simba cat in the Louisville Zoo.
What makes you think so? You are correct. I just want to hear your thought process.
Well, the first story seemed to have been read from a professionally written news article.
Yeah, well, that's kind of an insult.
No, nothing personal.
I think it's all personal. I think everything comes back to being personal. Nothing is without Logan, grudge.
Without a psychologist, therapist, psychiatrist, or other professional here, I cannot comment on that.
Okay. More for our podcast about doctors.
Our podcast about psychology.
So I heard from our producer that you were doing Real or Fake headlines this week. Is that true, or have you changed to classic Real or Fake?
Funny that you mention. Mm-hmm. What we have arrived at is a hybrid model this week.
Okay.
Logan, you've heard about some schools this year going to a hybrid model.
I've heard.
It's part in school, part at home on Zoom or the like. Mm-hmm. Today we're doing a hybrid Real or Fake.
It's pretty cool.
It is not as cool as I'd hoped, I'll be honest.
That's okay. We only record once a week. It's a very hard schedule.
So we're not just giving the headline, but we're just giving basic highlights of each story.
Yeah, it's fine.
But in accordance with the rules of the game.
Oh, I didn't cite my sources. By the way,
I will cite these sources.
Okay, take a hit.
Both of these are from Google News.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Serious.
Story number one. Oh, by the way, there's a common theme you'll notice.
Good.
Logan, the extents to which a mother will go to make sure she's doing the right thing by her children are really endless.
I'd say.
And in each of these stories from Google News.
Mm-hmm. Likely story.
.com.
Oh, okay. Don't get too fancy.
A mom has decided to take very serious measures to make sure she can tell her twins apart.
As she should.
As she should.
Yeah.
This mom was having a little bit of trouble telling her twins apart when they were just 2.5 years old. Which You shouldn't.
Yeah.
Trust me, you should not. But
I believe on The Office, even Michael Scott was smart enough to, I mean, this is horrible, of course, but he drew a line with a marker on someone's hand. It's from an episode where him and Andy, I believe, went out to hibachi, and they brought back like two waitresses as their girlfriends or something. I don't know. Well, you'd have to watch the episode.
You've once again strayed from reality here.
Yeah, once again, we have gone off the rails. So if we get back on dem rails, I'd be pleased to hear your stories.
It'd be my pleasure to take you back on the rails. Logan, so when the kids were 2.5, and it wasn't just she who was having trouble. It was, of course, her mother, and more importantly, her mother-in-law, and other friends and relatives were having a little bit of trouble telling the kids apart. She thought it'd be a clever idea, perhaps trying to be a little bit funny or cheeky. She dyed one of the kids' hair brown.
Oh.
While they used to be both blonde. So suddenly she had one blonde and one brown-haired child. And it worked.
As I can imagine.
Yeah.
Is that the whole story?
It is the whole story, except fast forward, the news story takes place last week, but they were 2.5 quite a while ago.
Doesn't look like
that was in 1992. Forward. They're now 28 years old, and they continue to dye their hair. Well, the brown-haired one does, and people identify them quite separately as the brown-haired and the blonde-haired of the two twins.
Wow. I mean, that's one way of doing it, I guess. I mean, talk about objectifying.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's good to have your own identity.
Yeah, definitely.
Funny enough.
Whatever floats their boat, I guess.
In a very similar news story, coincidentally this week.
I'm sure.
Another mother has taken another drastic measure to tell which twin is which.
Wow, okay.
Again, two male twins. I don't know if I told you there are two boys in the last case. Again, two boys. This mom decided that she was having so much trouble telling them apart, she tattooed one of them.
Oh, you're kidding.
I wish I was, Logan.
Actual ink tattoo?
In this particular real or fake story, allegedly, since it is just real or fake, this mom actually gave her son a small tattoo, no bigger than a freckle, so she could tell him apart from his brother.
That's
in this particular news story, it was so that she could be sure that she was injecting him with the medicine that he needed because he had a particular condition that the other twin did not have.
Okay. Well, I thought they were However, twins, but I guess they're not.
A lot of people were upset with her, especially her mother-in-law, who said, "How could you possibly tattoo a baby?"
Yeah. Well, do you know where she tattooed that baby? On his face or something?
I don't know. I don't see that here in this story.
Well,
Logan,
I think that story is fake.
Which one?
The tattoo story.
You think it's more likely that two little boys continue to dye one's hair well into their 20s?
I mean, it's more likely than getting a tattoo on a baby.
Well, you would be incorrect.
Really?
Yes. And by the way, I did stretch the truth. This is from the mirror.co.uk.
Okay, so you were lying. That was called a bold-faced lie.
No. Mums of twins slammed after tattooing one so she could tell them apart.
I'm talking sources.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, we were lied to today.
Oh, and you see how he did it? Technicality. He's got me on a technicality.
So convincingly. Frightening, ladies and gentlemen. Simply frightening. What else is Eric withholding from the public eye is what I want to know.
Logan.
Catch us next week. Not with the holiday spectacular, but with the court spectacular. That's right. We're taking this case to court. Find us on YouTube. The Court Case of 2020. Podcast about court cases.
Like a court jester, more like.
Yeah, because all you are is a big joke. A big game. A big song and dance. Oh, Eric's song and dance is back on the... Oh, I wonder what song and dance Eric's going to do on the podcast this week. Oh, just his regular old rigmarole. His old song and dance. Jester. I'm jesting with you.
Logan.
Is that even correct? I'm joking, if that's that makes any difference.
It's jestfully fun.
I also don't know how I feel about the fact that my voice just raised at least 2 octaves when I was saying that. But what's been done is done, and at least it's not as bad as lying to my dedicated fans.
Well, you know what's great is that you have not immortalized this moment.
Yeah, no way, shape, or form can this be ever played back in any any time, anywhere, ever. So,
Logan,
at least that's good.
I believe the expression... it belongs to the ages. Once again, applies to this podcast.
It really does. And you know what? I have a little phrase for this moment. And it is... hang on, let me pull it up. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be... it was going to be applicable. And now it's not. Darn it. Well... what I'm getting at is this moment will live in infamy. This day in history will live in infamy.
What's that from?
I believe it was FDR's Pearl Harbor speech.
Wow.
Very morbid subject that I should not have dragged into this lighthearted one.
That's a good slice of American history. Mm-hmm. World history, really.
We'll save that for a podcast about history, which is not in existence. Anyway.
I bet it is.
This is getting a little too cringe for my liking, so let's move on to Weekly Wisdom. This week we only have one life hack, but it's a pretty useful one, I'd say. Use ketchup packets as ice packs. They are the perfect size for kid bumps and bruises, and they stay soft so they can form around any body part. I would beg to argue almost any body part.
Yeah, I mean, not a giant thigh
or like
something.
A kneecap or an elbow, because they're so small.
Unless you happen to be the owner of the world's largest ketchup packets.
That would be a good real or fake. May make an appearance next week in our holiday spectacular.
Logan, I'm not trying to piggyback onto your real, what do you call this?
Life hack?
Weekly wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But... I've got to say, if you're looking for another useful way to take advantage of all those little ketchup packets that you get that you don't need.
I am, yeah.
Put them in your car.
I don't have a car, but good suggestion.
This is for our listeners with a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in the vehicle. Designate a cup holder as your ketchup packet cup holder.
Okay.
And the next time you happen to get a few extra ketchup packets, put them in there also. And over the years, accumulate as many ketchup packets as possible. If you can get upwards of 300 to 400, you're doing great.
Yeah, I'd say.
Save them in your vehicle.
Yeah.
And if you are ever caught in a snowstorm in that vehicle and you need a real survival food source,
I'd say guzzle them.
You're going to have ketchup aplenty.
Ketchup for days,
which
as the kids would say.
Which is chock full of sodium.
Maybe a little
sugar,
vitamin C.
Maybe a little vitamin C.
Great source of tomato, I've heard.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not from the restaurants.
It's got a little water in it. You need some water in you, obviously.
Yeah, if you have it for long enough, I feel like the water would start to settle away from the solid stuff. It would get really gross. The water would be yellowy.
We're talking survival situation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nothing's
inside a vehicle which is stranded in the snow. If you had 300 to 400 tomato ketchup packets, you could survive for quite a while. There's water in there. You need water to survive.
You sure do.
Yeah.
That's a good life hack right there. Save your ketchup packets in your car, and if you're in a snowy emergency situation, crack some of those puppies out and just suck on that, literally.
300 to 400 is preferable. That's your real sweet spot, is 300 to 400.
We're not saying eat until you're sick. We're saying eat until you're full and survived.
Not even, Logan. I mean, if you're in that survival situation, you have 300 to 400 ketchup packets.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We're talking one a day. Mm-hmm. This should get you through about a year.
And if you're stuck in a car for a year,
yeah,
we don't know what you're doing. Number one, we don't want to know what you're doing.
You do have some extra water because it's not going to help that much.
And what kind of person really gets stuck in a car for an entire year? Right? Am I right?
Yeah, when you're right, you're right, Logan.
Thank you. Yeah, well, before we go, this is totally not sponsored. I wanted to quickly talk about a podcast episode that I listened to.
That's right.
I, a podcast co-host, listen to podcasts. Now, this podcast was recommended me from a friend of the show who will, for the time being, remain nameless. We did, in fact, record a podcast episode with him. And that day also will forever live in infamy because the episode was erased from the computer.
Oh, you mean the Lost podcast?
Lost podcast episode about Guns N' Roses, I believe. I think that was going to be episode 27 or 28. Whatever it was, we had a great time. That was over a year ago. It was Lost. I'm very apologetic that it was, and I'm very sorry that it happened. And, you know, it'll be made up another day. But he suggested to me, why don't you listen to this podcast called 30 for 30? This episode called A Queen of Sorts. I'm going to read the description. It was, when I tell you, captivating. I cannot step away from this podcast episode. I'll send it to you, Eric. I suggest
please
you give it a
do.
Listen.
Yeah, thanks.
And totally not sponsored again. I'll link it in the show notes because I think it's seriously worth a listen. In 2012, poker star Phil Ivory pulled... My apologies. In 2012, poker star Phil Ivy pulled off an elaborate baccarat scheme that won him over $20 million and landed him in court. But Ivy had another card up his sleeve. Secretive mastermind Kelly Ching Yin Sun, a woman who crafted the entire scheme to get revenge. So, I mean, if that stuttery, mispronounced description did not pull you in, I don't know what will.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, you should.
I will.
That's notice I'm only
30 for 30?
Yeah. I think it's like an ESPN podcast. That's what it says on Apple Podcasts. But it's funny that you'd think I was illiterate because I always stumble over my words when I'm reading. I think it's just
because
I'm on air.
Oh, Logan, we all do. We all do this.
Please believe me. I'm much more literate than I let on. My good sir. Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up the show tonight?
Logan, it's been really, as I like to say, far too often, quite a roller coaster.
Yeah, it really has been. We will see you next week with our holiday special. And, you know, it's going to be a good time. Thanks for listening. Please share us with your family and friends if you would. The Figures Among Us and The Figures Among Us Resurrection are still on Amazon, and I've kept their low Black Friday prices for a whole nother week. So you can grab those two books for a very low price. It would mean a lot. Again, maybe leave us a nice iTunes review or whatever you do. Eric, it's been real, and we'll see you next week.